Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen, across the country. Hope you're having a safe and happy July 4th weekend. I know we're a couple days away, but we don't miss this show. We keep it going, patriotic and everything, minus the fireworks. But so blessed to produce this out of Los Angeles. Yours truly, Mark Mancini, my sidekick, a brother, a mentor out there in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Dr. Greg Roscoe, 347-205-9631. This show goes by quick. Catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. And just to take notes, guys across the place and wherever you are in the world, July 30th will be going an hour, 7:30 to 8:30 on the West Coast, 10:30 to 11:30 on the East Coast. And next week, I'll let him intro it, but we'll have a special guest on the show. So that's going to be a real good one, to say the least. Other than that, more of him, less of me. Let me lay the red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic. First of all, Doc, how are you? Second of all, how can people get a hold of you? Third of all, boy, I love this topic tonight.
Well, thank you very much, Mark. It's good to hear from you. We're well in Pittsburgh. Business is good. We're taking care of a lot of patients. It's a great time of year. You know, Pittsburgh is blossoming. There's all kind of activities on the rivers, fireworks for the weekend, all kind of fairs. Beautiful time of year here. If you get a hold of me, Mark, at GJRMD308@outlook.com. Which I'd appreciate any communication. I'll be glad to get back with you as well, but would like to hear from you if you have good comments for us. Our topic today, Mark, if I can introduce it, we're going to talk about oral cancer. You know, we've been talking about, you know, we did a couple of shows on oral infections, dealing with decay of the teeth, as well as erosion of the supporting structures of the mouth, where we were losing teeth. And that was kind of a little bit of a concern, people losing their teeth, and what do we do for replacement, you know, et cetera. And that was due, of course, to dental decay and infection eating away at the bone in our jaw. And I thought, you know, along the same lines, Mark, I had recently, I had a case, 71-year-old Caucasian female. Had come in to see me later than sooner. Mark, she had been in to see three or four different doctors, had been to two or three emergency rooms, had been to her dentist. And she came in with a large lesion in her tongue. And it unfortunately was squamous cell carcinoma. The gal was a smoker. She had smoked many years ago, but nothing recently. And the sad part is she had seen several professionals, and they didn't recognize the lesion. She got comments like she has a dry mouth. She has COVID of the mouth. She has poor teeth. She has a swollen tongue. Well, this went on for 2 or 3 months. Fortunately, she did come in to see us, and the horse was a little bit out of the barn. We were able to biopsy, and again, the cancer that usually we see in the mouth is squamous cell carcinoma. And since then, this woman has passed. But I thought I'd bring that to fore a little bit, but I also would like to tie it in with smokeless tobacco and athletes. You know, really a major player of the Padres many, many years ago, Tony Gwynn, which he died in June of 16, so it's about 6 years ago, from smokeless tobacco and oral cancer. So it is something that does affect, you know, women as well as men, our athletes, and maybe other professionals as well. So, Mark, that's kind of the impetus today. I wanted to talk about oral cancer, what's causing it, and, again, if we have time to go into treatment, or that can be another show. But my thought.
No, that's a good one, and we're starting to get comments as we start to get every week with this great show that you're running. Robin from Youngstown, Ohio says, She knew somebody that had cancer of the mouth passed. They basically chewed tobacco a lot constantly. It was Red Man chewing tobacco. He didn't play sports or anything, but he just liked the taste of it. And, yeah, it's unfortunate when, you know, you get that kind of cancer. It just really decays your teeth and everything. So Robin from Youngstown, Ohio, chiming in.
Yeah, you know, as far as causes of oral cancer, she hit the nail on the head. Smokeless tobacco is one of the most frequent causes of cancer. So that overall, people that are chewing, they still get the toxic effects as in cigarette smoking. And, Mark, you know, I think as far as presenting a little bit, well, what causes oral cancer? And, you know, I had a couple of things here. And, again, smokeless tobacco being one of them. Cigarettes, of course, Mark, we know definitely cause oral cancer. And just some statistics on oral cancer and cigarette smoking. There's almost a half a billion people a year in the world that tend to get oral cancer from tobacco products, which is a tremendous number overall. Mark, other causes, you know, again, we know about the smokeless, but, you know, cigarettes are one, but also electronic cigarettes, you know, the vaping. And, you know, I don't know where anybody gets the idea this vaping is not dangerous. But, you know, the vaping instrument is a battery-heated instrument where you heat a liquid, and then it vaporizes this liquid into your mouth. And, again, it produces nicotine. And we think that nicotine is the culprit, one of the etiological agents in oral cancer. So I mentioned about vaping, you know, a couple of shows ago. And, again, very similar, you know, it's the nicotine reaction that does this. And, Mark, you know, I'd like to talk about something new that's coming to this country. And it's heat, not burn, tobacco products. That's heat, not burn, tobacco products. And these are little gadgets, of course, you put in your mouth. And it's a electric blade that heats a tobacco stick that produces the tobacco to smoke. And then, of course, you inhale the smoke. These products are starting to be approved by the FDA, and they're starting to get on our market. But again, they are an issue with oral cancer. And, Mark, just proceeding along these lines, you know, we have cigars. We have pipes. You know, we even have the water pipes or the hookahs that can tend to cause our oral cancer. But one of the biggest products we're talking about today is smokeless tobacco. So I think that kind of lays things down a little bit, Mark. So
yeah, let me get to one of these questions in. John basically coming in from Dearborn, Michigan, basically says you're talking about hookah stuff with the vaping and stuff. How bad is that compared to the actual chewing of tobacco? Ooh, that's another good one.
Another good question. You know, as far as relative frequency, you know, which is worse than another? Well, none of them are any good. You know, and again, it depends on one's frequency of use. All right? You know, if you have one cigarette or you're at one hookah parlor, is that going to cause an oral cancer? And probably not. But, you know, as far as the hookah, just interestingly, there is a prevalence of oral cancers. It's about 18% of oral cancers are caused by the water pipes or the hookah material. So it is something, again, now this is more Middle East than it is, you know, in our country, but it does create the smoke that indeed is somewhat filtered through the water, but indeed you're still getting a nicotine concentration. So that answering the question, it is far better, it still is not good.
Wow.
Is that
unbelievable?
Yeah,
and you know, I wanted to throw something in on that if I could, because I see more and more people vaping today, and they're trying to curb that with that. I mean, it's another form of, you know, smoking, How about, we're starting to get a lot of other questions now, you know, social smoking, basically coming out. This is Bill out here in, trying to figure this one out, Fremont, California, says social smoking, where you just light it up, you don't inhale, but you just kind of hold it. Could that cause cancer on your fingers and stuff because the tobacco and everything is getting on that? That's another great question. Wow.
Very good question.
Bill from Fremont.
You know, again, surely, no, very good question. Good observation. You know, I think people that enjoy smoking, of course, would like to decrease the risk of cancer. And I think that's what the question's about, Mark. Decreasing the risk, you know, of cancer, but maybe having a little bit of pleasure of having that cigarette in the mouth. The risk of getting cancer on the fingers from holding a cigarette, Mark, is probably very, very, very minimal, if that, you know, kind of answers the question. As far as, say, socially having the cigarette in your mouth, inhaling a little bit to keep it lit, the chances are less, Mark. But again, you know, we're dealing with something toxic here. These are not our friends. And to say, well, if I just take a little bit, is that better than a lot? The answer is yes. But tobacco is not our friend when we're talking about heating it up and then having it touch our body. It does cause a toxic reaction. And, Mark, I don't know if that, you know, would answer his question or give him a little more information on it, but I would rather have him chew gum than putting a cigarette in his mouth socially. Do a lozenger. Let's keep the cigarettes off our fingers, but indeed out of our mouth.
Great thing. Now, with the alcohol with this, I know you're going to get into that one, too. As
yes.
we get this show really rolling, man, it's amazing.
You know, as far as if I can, let's see. You know, when we talk about cancer, cancer of the head and neck, cancer of the oral cavity, the provocative agents that tend to lead to cancer is long-term use, typically, of the nicotine, the alcohol. That combination is very toxic to the tissues of the mouth. The tissues of the mouth are called squamous membranes. It's a very specific type of a lining that's in the mouth, the tongue, the throat, the vocal cords. And this lining is very susceptible to damage by smoke, by alcohol. You know, when we add periodontal disease to this mix, that someone does not take good care of their mouths. They have, you know, bad gums, so to speak. They have decay. You then add alcohol. You then add, you know, vaping or chewing or smoking. Mark, there is setup for an oral or a head and neck cancer overall. So it's a dangerous situation. And, you know, our baseball players, We know they're not drinking on the field, we hope, but they do, you know, put that chew in their mouth, and it's in there for hours. And, you know, a lot of the ball players do it out of habit. A lot of ball players do it out of they like the taste. A lot of ball players do it because of releasing stress. But it is something overall that by itself in their mouth leads to toxic reactions. And, you know, if I can just elaborate a little bit on smokeless, besides
right.
smokeless tobacco, we talk about snuff, which is a fine tobacco product that users actually put it in their nose. And, again, it causes an awful lot of irritation in the upper airway. So, and, again, very similar linings, very susceptible to toxic elements. So that by putting a tobacco product in contact with a nasal lining or the oral cavity, Mark, is a disaster. And then heating it up is another disaster in inhaling it. That's my take on that, Mark.
Yeah. Sally from Burlington, Vermont, always in here listening to the show. And she more or less says, yeah, you know, cancer, knows no boundaries. The worst cancers, the ones you can't really detect compared to outside your, you know, your mouth and stuff, it's the ones that really are the death things is the one you can't see. And that's another great question from Sally out there in Burlington, Vermont, because you think of cancer, and it's a silent killer is the cancer you can't really see. You know, it's you can't detect it right away. You know, and I don't know what your thoughts are on that, but that's very interesting. I didn't think of it like that, but these listeners are really educated.
Very educated. It's a very good comment, very good observation. You know, we talk about cancers that one can see. Usually on our skin area, we have more the basal cell cancers, which are the ones that are sun sensitive. And again, these form on our face and can be very close to our lips. The ones we're referring to here, which are more internal, meaning the mouth, the lips, the cheek, the tongue, even into the vocal cord area. Mark, they are silent for a while, but Mark, they never stay silent completely. So then when one gets, you know, a funny symptom, and let's talk about their mouth, they get an ulcer. They feel they have a hard lump under the tongue, on the surface of the tongue, or the edge of the tongue, or they feel there's a lump in their cheek. Mark, it's time to go to our professionals, whether it's an ear, nose, and throat, or a family doctor, or to their dentist. Let's get it checked. Most of these cancers, if they are caught earlier in their stage of development, they're curable. So that overall, you know, Mark, it goes along with maintenance and good health care. Let's maintain our body. Let's be very aware of our body. Let's not do things that would damage our body. Okay?
Wow. Great one. Tom from Dallas, Texas, chiming in, another regular, basically says, yeah, he's lost a couple family members to cancer. It's unbelievable how, you know, we can send people to the moon, but we have no cure for cancer.
Wow.
That's a good observation.
Very good. He's right. Yes, we send people to the moon. You know, as far as I think, you know, expounding a little bit on what he's saying, which it is true, there are so many variables in one's body, in different nationalities, in different genetic groups, that it is hard sometimes to go ahead and cure cancer because of all the different variables. Now, having said that, we do have an excellent cure rate for cancer in this country, whether it's a combination of chemotherapy and radiation, radiation alone, radiation surgery, chemotherapy. Our cure rates in this country are phenomenal. The goal would be not to get the cancer to start with. But if one were unfortunate enough to have a problem, we need to catch it early rather than later. And when we talk about early, if one has, let's say, a lesion in the mouth, a lump in the mouth, we want to see it then, Mark, not when they also start to get a lump in their neck. All right? Meaning that the cancer cells are starting to spread through the lymph nodes into the channels in the neck. And then we're starting to have something called metastasis. So that overall, let's start, if we have a problem, Mark, let's catch it early. Let's stop the habits that got us into this situation. Okay?
Unbelievable. 10 minutes left in the show. Denise from San Francisco chiming in saying, you guys are talking about great things, the mouth and everything. What about throat cancer? She knew somebody that had throat cancer, and that was really detrimental. Wow.
Very
I didn't think of that one.
Sure. You know, as far as, Mark, the family of cancers that she's referring to are called head and neck cancers. And these are cancers of the mouth, the throat, the vocal cords, the voice box. And when she's talking about throat cancer, usually that means cancer of the voice box. And, you know, usually smoking can cause this, as well as chewing. You know, the tobacco juice, if one is swallowing it, it can irritate the throat. Smoking, of course, does one of two things. It either affects the vocal cords or the small flapper called the epiglottis on the voice box. Now, those, Mark, those patients, if they start to get that, they would start with hoarseness. And usually what I recommend, if someone has hoarseness ongoing for about 2.5 to 3 weeks, 21 days, and the hoarseness is not resolving, they need to seek medical care. So that overall there's something going on in those structures. And, you know, today, throat cancer, depending on the stage or how early we catch it, is curable. It could be a radiation treatment. Worst case, it could be removal of the voice box. But that would be in a far advanced stage. But overall, hoarseness is the main symptom with cancer of the throat. So let's be aware of that, okay?
Wow. Jim from Williamsport, PA, chiming in and basically says, well, how would you detect that? Is that done by more or less an MRI? How would you check to see if somebody would, you know, more or less have problems with their horse? Could it be tonsils and stuff like that?
Sure.
Another great question.
Beautiful. Very good questions. Very intuitive. You know, how do I know? Well, you know, if we have, like I'm saying, a couple of the main symptoms of, we call it the upper aerodigestive tract. If someone's having problems swallowing, meaning that, yeah, I can drink liquids, but you know what? I eat a sandwich and I have to wash it down, or I can't, or I have to kind of vomit it up. You know, then there's a little problem with the airway. Then the hoarseness issue, you know, a chronic sore throat. All right. You're spitting up blood. You know, those are the initial signs of a cancer. So that you need to be aware of your body and where it's malfunctioning. So that if you have, you know, we call it dysphagia, painful swallowing. If we have hoarseness, if we're spitting up blood, which is hemoptysis, these things need to be looked at and checked. Having said that, there are different ways to do it, and he's correct. You know, one way, of course, you know, and again, we teach our residents this, you know, it's getting a history. It's getting an examination, whether it's maybe a scope in the office to look at these structures or the diagnostic testing. They could be CT scan, MRI scan, or even down the road a PET scan. And then you take all this data and then put together a plan. Possibly a biopsy is necessary, which is sticking maybe a needle into one of these lumps, maybe going in through the mouth, taking a biopsy, or actually opening up the neck, taking that tissue to biopsy it, and then to go ahead with good data, putting together a good treatment plan for these patients. Do you think that helps, Mike? Mark?
Yeah, that definitely. It's funny you say that. Mike from Tucson, Arizona,
yeah,
chiming in, basically saying, you know, when you get the cancer out, why does it keep coming back? Is it because, you know, you didn't get everything out of it? I mean, you hear so many of these reports, he says, where, you know, they get the cancer out and then it resurfaces a month or two later or even a year or two later. Any thought to that?
Absolutely.
Wow.
You know, as far as a recurrent cancer, number one, the best way to take care of this is to go to a very reputable cancer center. Let's get the diagnostic testing. Let's get the right examinations. Let's get the right biopsy. But also, once the treatment is instituted, let's complete the treatment cycle, whether it's chemotherapy or radiation, number one. Number two, stop the habits that cause this. You know, it's amazing. We've diagnosed throat cancer, voice box cancer. People get treatment. Do you know they don't stop chewing or smoking? they will continue to do that. They feel they're impermeable to having another cancer. There's a 25% recurrent rate on head and neck cancers. So that overall, our patients need to be very, very cautious. But indeed, it's either the habits are continuing to where they got this problem, or immunologically, their body is very susceptible to cancer cells. So it is a very difficult issue. But Mark, it goes along also with what I have been saying, maintenance. When we diagnose a cancer patient in our office and we do treatment, I follow these patients for at least 5 years. We start out every 3 months, then it's once every 6 months, then it's once a year, but we keep an eye on them continuously for 5 years. If they go the 5 years without any recurrence, we say that we have a cure. But it's a matter of maintenance. If something were to happen before that, we jump on it right away. But indeed, they need to have maintenance, and we've got to take good care of ourselves. And again, Mark, early in our programming, we talked about nutrition. Nutrition and diet are very important once these cancer patients have gotten treatment. They need good nutrients and vitamins to help maintain healing in their body. Okay?
Unbelievable. As we wind this thing down and put in a recap on it, I know next week we'll get one of the ballplayers in here to talk about tobacco use and in baseball and stuff and how it affects and you know, what the downfalls are. How would you put a capper on this morning's show, because it's just so amazing with all these listeners chiming in.
Well, thank you.
And throwing some great questions too.
Yeah, well, thank you. All the questions were great. The observations were great. And, you know, what we want to talk about is oral cancer. Let's go ahead and let's be aware of what's going in our mouth. Let's know that tobacco, alcohol, and periodontal disease can be very provocative to these situations. Smokeless tobacco is still a culprit with oral cancer, as well as cigarettes are overall. So let's take good care of our bodies. And they're meant to last a lifetime. If indeed we can help strengthen it, if we can help prevent damage to it, we're going to be a lot happier and feel a lot better. And, Mark, you know, with our athletes, if I can expound on 1 minute there, you know, like Tony Gwynn, you know, what an athlete, remarkable baseball player, a man in good shape. And then he goes ahead and, you know, uses smokeless tobacco and chewing tobacco for many, many years. And, of course, he succumbed to it. So you would think people that are out exercising and using their body physically would want to maintain it with good vitamins, supplements, and not do things that would go ahead and degenerate it. So that just a word of the day, let's take care of this organism, this body. Think about what you're doing. Support it. Keep it strong. Keep it healthy. That would be my recap.
Covered him for
today.
3 years in San Diego. What a gentleman. Just a humble guy. And he's up there looking out of Heaven's Gate, man, and listening
what
to this. So,
what a nice man.
Yeah, unbelievable. Hey, let everybody know if they're in the Pittsburgh area to see your nice staff and you and everything, because we'd like to get that out there too.
Well, you know, we're at GJRMD 308 at Outlook.com. We have a beautiful staff. We have a very nice facility. You know, we treat a variety of things. So if you have any questions, let us know. We'll be glad to get you information. You know, we try to stay up to date with things, even with the latest technology for sleep apnea, where we're doing procedures today to go ahead and help maintain the tongue so it's not obstructing the back of the throat, called the Inspire. We're doing balloon sinuplasties, where we're opening the sinuses as opposed to making large holes in the sinuses. We're doing also eustachian tube dilatations, where we're opening up the ear tube rather than put actually tubes in the eardrums. So we're trying to be very conservative. We're trying to be up to date with the newest technology and give our patients a matter of options. So that would be beautiful. If you need something that we can help you with, please don't fail to email me. Thank you, Mark.
Well, we're so blessed to have you and to produce this each and every week for Dr. Greg Roscoe out there in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Yours truly, Mark Mancini, in Los Angeles. We'll see you next week. Special guests will be on that one, so don't miss it. Till then, have a blessed and safe 4th of July. Good day, everybody.
Thank you.